Good evening. We want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you, our online students, as well as those that are on Roku. For those of you that are present here tonight, let us pray so we can get started. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful, so grateful for the opportunity that we have to sit at the feet of this church. We thank you for the apostolic call that is upon his life. We thank you for putting it in his heart that he can share his life with us, give us insight, so that we, as men and women of God, can learn your ways. Many know about your acts, but there are very few people that know your ways. We thank you for our apostles. We thank you for this school. Thank you for the students. And we thank you most of all for the precious, precious Holy Spirit. He's the true teacher. He knows all things. He leads and guides us into all truth to bring all things to our remembrance, what things soever Jesus has said unto us. So anoint our ears to hear, anoint our eyes to see, anoint our hearts to believe. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to fast forward a little bit. I think we have exams next week, is that right? Okay. So everything from your previous exam, you know, the when you take the test, what you call it, the quizzes. Y'all know I'm looking for the word. You know, your quizzes and the quiz tonight, all of that will be included on the exam. And, you know, the exams are not that hard, is that right? I'm not getting a lot of amens. But anyway, if you study the quizzes and the study guides that come out, you should do fine. And to be honest with you, I'm probably why some don't do as well, because you have a study guide and the quizzes, and I look at those things, and most of it is word for word. So just be a little bit more diligent, and you should do well. This year, many of you have been doing really well, so that's just a word of encouragement for those who think you can pass an exam without studying. Forget it. It's not going to happen. Amen? It's like you have to apply yourself. You really do. You know, I'm a pastor. I didn't try that in here. I paid the price. I remember reading chapters that the instructor told me that was going to be on the test, and he didn't take nothing out the chapter. All right. Well, don't get mad at the instructor. Just follow directions. After all, we're supposed to be reading these books anyway. Okay, so we're going to move into chapter 3, Catching the Wave, the nature of revival fire. The nature of revival fire. Now, what's interesting to me is, you know, being raised in what we would call today a Pentecostal holiness church. Okay, we taught a lot about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our emphasis was just on being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. That's where the emphasis was. But there's more to it. There's more to him. Let me put it that way. There's more to him and there's more to it. You know, being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues is not the whole essence of what God is trying to do. So we'll look at Matthew 3 in a minute, but let's look at page 13, I believe, in your book, if you can follow along, because many of these things are just excerpts that I take out, put in note form so we can highlight these things. There's no way for us to teach you a whole book in the time that we have allotted. So you must be a, as the Berean Christians, you must search the scripture and search the things that we say. But often revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. So revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire in the earth. It breaks the effect and the influence of hell's fire on the earth and establishes the kingdom of our God. Now, here's some interesting characteristics about fire, and that's why I want to talk about this. Because in catching the wave, we're actually talking about a move of fire. Are you listening? And I, like I said, you'll see it once we go through these scriptures, but it says, fire purifies. Fire does what? All right, so right away we can connect that you can't do anything with grace. Just, you know, functioning in grace, because as Apostle was sharing, you know, it's grace and truth. And the truth of the word say we got to be purified by fire. Now, come on now. Come on now. You can't, we got to be purged and purified by fire. Number one, fire is a purifier. Got it? Whatever is not like God, that's in us, the purpose of the indwelling Holy Ghost is to burn it out. Oh, then nobody won't say amen on that. Fire purifies, reducing the size and quantity of the material. Y'all got that? But increases its value and its worth. Did y'all see that? Fire reduces the size of the material, but causes it to have a greater value and more worth. Doesn't that sound like he must increase and I must decrease? The more I decrease, the more he increases. Well, that happens by trials of fire. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Fire extracts the worthless from the precious. Fire extracts the worthless from the precious, thus giving value and worth to it. Though it is less in quantity, it increases in its what? Quality. God is after quality. God is after holiness, sanctification, all of those things. It's hard for holiness children to depart from that. If you were raised in the church I was raised in, baby, we didn't know nothing else. We remember Hebrews 14 and 12. Or was it Hebrews 12, 14? Follow peace with all men. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men. For holiness without no man shall see the Lord. That was our scripture. Amen. And listen. That's the purpose of true revival. To bring us back to a place where we recognize we serve a holy God who wants a holy people. Amen. So we can carry out his work in the earth realm. All right? Now, I told you, turn to Matthew, maybe I didn't tell you, turn to Matthew chapter number 3, because we're going to look at something real quick. When we understand the nature of revival fire, we can work along with the Holy Spirit, which will help us to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, there are 7 essential characteristics related to fire which can be applied to the coming revival. 7 essential characteristics. Number 1, a need for fire. Say a need for fire. Now, all revivals are initiated by God himself. Initiated by God. Not the work of a man. It's the work of God. Y'all in Matthew chapter 3? Verse number 1. Read the Bible. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is saying, watch this. Y'all know from Malachi to the book of Malachi to Matthew, for over 40 years, heaven was shut up. Shut up. Shut down. Nothing was coming down. But God moved upon the man, John the Baptist. Why? Because he's ready for revival. he's ready to change and intervene in the affairs of men. Read the Bible. Keep reading. Now, notice what the Bible says. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, or the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye what? All right, so revival fire is about preparing the way of the Lord. See, fire will break out and burn up a path. Cut out a path. Y'all with me? Okay. Now, I'm not going to read all of that. Drop down to verse 11. This is John talking. The preparer of the way. Now, watch what John says. What he says. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Underline that in your Bible. But he that's coming after me, he's mightier than I. And his shoes I'm not worthy to bear. Okay. He shall baptize you with the what? With the who? He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's the part we left out. And with, which is the purifying agent. No wonder Jesus told the 12 apostles that he trained, don't leave from Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. Why? The same power that caused me to carry out ministry effectively is the same power that I'm going to equip you with. But it's just not being filled and speaking in tongues. Well, you're going to see it again in Acts chapter 2. Because talk about the fire here. See, God is ready. God is sparking revival in the earth realm. Now, isn't it how God can tie a thing together? The few last segments as Apostle was sharing, what did he say is the most important thing for every believer to do? Boy, if y'all ain't give me a bath. You were sleeping in class? Pray in tongues at least 30 minutes a day before you go out and talk to somebody. So that's where Psalm 63 comes in at. Turn over. We'll get back to Matthew. We're talking about catching the wave of revival, so we need to understand. He's praying in the Spirit. He said he follows his spiritual father, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, Sr., who trained him. And he said, I'm going to catch your secret. And while others was in class, in the same room, going just like he did, the meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, he caught something. This is catching the wave. Some things got to be caught. They can't be taught. We have a lot of people that need motivation. You get along with the Holy Ghost and you can't get motivated? Don't worry about it. Turn your credentials in. Yeah, just quit. See, we're talking about fire now. Fire on the inside will burn everything out. And once again, it's burning up and consuming everything that's in, because one of the other things that fire needs is combustible material. Fire needs something you can latch on to. And really, what God wants is for all of us to become coals of fire. Now, I say turn the psalm, huh? I didn't think that's where I was. Read it. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. And a dry and thirsty land. Y'all better talk to me up in here. We've been saturated with the gospel so much, the gospel is like some little common thing right now. You want me to tell you why? Because the power is missing and the fire is missing. Baby, let me tell you something. Fire and power will weed out everything else. Because it's authentic. It's the basis for God's revival. Are you with me? Read the Bible. What does it say?
When
where no water is. Read that verse again.
O God, thou art my God.
Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. And my flesh is longing for you. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What? Now, come on now. Now, let me ask you a question. What's your heart cry right now today? Aren't you tired of religion? Aren't you tired of just seeing the same thing happen in church week after week after week? Huh? Have you never asked yourself, God, where's all the miracles I read about in the Bible? Why are people getting prayed for and leaving out the same way they came in? What happened to suddenly, straightway, and immediately? Y'all kind of quiet. What happened when the apostles walked the streets of Jerusalem and they would bring people out and lay them in the street, and when they cattle would pass, they would get healed? Where's all of this stuff? What happened? God said it's time for true revival, true apostolic revival. That's the purpose for this school. God has raised up an apostle to train men and women to walk in apostolic grace. Watch this. So we can return back to God's original intent. He said, I long to see your power and your glory. Well, there you go. Your power and your glory. Y'all gonna stay with me up here? Because see, God is up to something right now. Alright? Now, it's power, glory, all with the fire. Say the fire. Now, back to Matthew's Gospel chapter 3, so I can show you these things. We need the fire. See? The first essential thing is a need for fire. Let me go ahead and give them to you. The second one is a need for a fire starter. See, I need to give y'all all of these. They might be on your quiz. Number three, a need for ignitable material. Y'all know what that means, huh? Material that can catch on fire. Mm-hmm. A need for the fire to spread. A need for the fire to be watched. Mm-hmm. A need to ensure individual fire. That's for everybody to get on fire. That's six, huh? And the seventh thing, a need to activate the fire. Okay? Now we're talking about the fire. So, Matthew 3:11. This is John the Baptist, who is the forerunner to Jesus Christ, the preparer of the way. Now, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But they got one who's coming after me. But in one place he says, but he is preferred before me. You know, then he says he's mightier than I. He says, I'm not even worthy to bear his shoes. Now watch what he says. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Holy Ghost and with what? All right, now let me tell you what we went after. We went after the power and forgot about the fire. Y'all kind of quiet now. I said we went after the power and forgot about the fire. But can I tell y'all, the reason for the power is the fire. Oh, God. Well, if fire is purging and getting rid of impurities, that must mean, come on somebody, you're going to function in a greater dimension. That makes sense to you? Huh? In the spirit. We're not talking about the fleshly thing here. Now, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the what? Uttermost parts of the earth. Now, right now, I'm about to tell you something. See? Acts chapter 2. Tell somebody the fire falling. Now remember, Jesus told them, don't leave until you be endued with power from on high. And we got so wrapped up with the dunamis, the power, that we didn't bother to check out Acts chapter 2. See, we have a need for fire. A purifying. The Bible said God is an all-consuming fire. And I believe that God wants all of us, watch this, to be consumed with this fire. Because not only will it burn up everything in you, but then it will begin to shoot out. Come on now. I'm trying to tell you. That's why a lot of people don't like to hang around people who really got the fire. Y'all kind of quiet. All right, here we go. Let's go. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, we talked about that in the previous chapter, right? You have to be in one accord in one place. And what? That's where the suddenly come in at. See, a lot of times we waiting on suddenly, but suddenly just don't show up. There's some preparation for a suddenly. See, suddenly, can I talk to you out here? Suddenly indicates that there was some preparation that brought forth expectation. See, when Jesus told them to wait, they had to, that meant expectation, but in the middle of having expectation, I needed to have some preparation. So I went into the upper room to pray. I went in the upper room, I separated from everybody. I went into the upper room so I can wait. Come on now. They that wait upon the Lord. Come on. We need some people willing. That's why you got to get up early in the morning. First thing in the morning. If you put God first thing in the morning. I know everybody don't like that. I'm a night person. I'm a this, I'm a that. If you're serious about God. Oh, Jesus. Why are you going here? Y'all know as a basketball player, before I played ball in college, before I went to classes, 8 o'clock in the morning, I was running down I-10, maybe university was right along I-10. If you hit it, this is west. If you hit it east of the city, you see Xavier University, and you get to a certain spot. There was a little place called Bunny Bridge, but we had to run 3 miles, 6 o'clock in the morning, before we went to school. And the thing that motivated us to run was the Bunny Bridge smell. But this is what I'm saying. That's just to get in shape to play ball. Then we would practice late at night, get on 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about preparation, in case you want to know where I'm going. Because you see, preparation is the thing that will cause you to last. Are you with me? See, preparation with expectation can take you a long way. So now, Jesus tell them, go to the upper room. And now something happens. They're with one accord, and they're in one place, and what? Suddenly, there came a what?
A sound
from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled. It filled what? It filled the entire upper room where they were. All right? All right. Uh-huh. Now, here we go. Tell somebody, here come the fire. Y'all been concentrating on the power. Don't look at me. You read this all the time. Now you're going to look at me like a fowl in a new gate. Come on, somebody. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each of them. See, the fire set up on them. You know, it would have been just as easy for everybody. Who that?
Y'all know why I'm laughing at. Are you kidding me?
All right, let me finish this. Just this little piece here, and then we got to stop. I'm amazed, y'all. I'm telling y'all, when I looked at that thing, it was 8:15, and I'm like, Jesus, this is daylight saving time in class. we've been pushed forward. All right. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. Each of them. Each of them individually. I want to make sure you got the fire. Y'all with me? Huh? Not everybody all at one time. Each of them. Because I wanted to start a fire. See, if I get a fire started in each of them, oh my God. And y'all want to know why? When Peter left out there, now remember, Peter was the coward. Y'all remember? I said, now, see, they took his fire out of him. You know, they took his fire out of him through fear. He really loved Jesus. He was really willing to fight and die for it. Oh, Jesus. But how many of you know you can say you're going to die until they come ready to kill you? Peter said, I got some old fishing to do, Lord. I catch it with you later. I don't know the blankety blank blank. I never met the man. Who's Jesus? Who was that? I don't even talk like him. I'm from China. Y'all know all that Peter did. But what happened on the day of Pentecost when the fire got on the inside? See, we talk about the power, but it was the fire that burnt the fear out. It was the fire that got that timidity out. I'm trying to get some help. It was the fire that said, I said I was willing to die, but I got something on the inside now that can take me there. And when the fire broke out, the very first time he preached, 3,000. That must have been some kind of fire. And we need to fire out of here. Well, I'll tell y'all what's on the test.